Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy and faithfulness.
This is Mark Ramsey of the Ministry Collaborative, and I am filled with joy and gratitude today to get to talk to two of my colleagues and friends in ministry, Esta Jarrett and Barrett Payne. Hello to both of you.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Esta first, why don't you tell us sort of what your ministry setting is and sort of what you're doing in ministry right now?
Sure. I've been the solo pastor at Canton Presbyterian Church, a 124-year-old congregation in Canton, North Carolina. It's just west of Asheville. I've been there for 12 and a half years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a pastor at two churches now, not quite as old as Esther's. One's 112, one's 110-year-old. One's what used to be a country church, and then one is a mid-sized church downtown in a little town called Lillington, North Carolina.
And that's in the eastern part of the state.
Yeah, we're about 40 miles south of Raleigh, North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, I assume most people have the entire map of North Carolina.
You know, just memorized.
That's well, they should.
Yeah, they should. There's many reasons I wanted to talk to both of you. First of all, I deeply appreciate the way you enact ministry in a local setting. It is inspiring to me, and I know a lot of people. I also realize candidly that we have underserved in what we talk about and who we interview, pastors in small towns and small churches. What do folks who are not in your setting need to know about your ministry?
What occurs to me right away is how deep the joy can run in it. Mm-hmm. The narrative throughout our PCUSA denomination has been, oh, the problem of small churches. And yes, there are challenges, and the challenges are real, but the joy often more than compensates for that. The joy of deep relationships, of being able to turn and change course really quickly, and to really live in deep, faithful relationship with people.
Wonderful.
It's funny you say it too, because one thing, Esta, when I was coming out of seminary, going to a small church was like going to Nineveh.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That's where I got to. And what surprised me was how nimble a small church can be.
Yeah.
And a rural church can be, because, and they have the struggles, and yes, the traditions, and someone's great grandfather donated this, and you deal with that, but you deal with that in large churches too. Absolutely. But yeah, I agree with you, how just the joy and the nimble, and how we can make decisions pretty quickly.
It's kind of funny, and like sometimes I tell my friends who are big steeple church pastors that I kind of feel sorry for them, that they don't get to enjoy the things that we do and have the lightness that we do.
Yeah.
My sense is that what you both say was very evident during the pandemic. Mm. I know a little bit about both of your settings, and both of you, I think, were able to enact a nimble personal ministry in those months that was not at all possible when you're trying to serve hundreds of people. Would you agree with that, or is that a misperception from a distance?
That's kind of you. And it's reassuring to know that it looked like that from the outside. Looking at it from my angle, there was a lot of flailing. I think that's true for a lot of us. The fact that we were all flailing together was kind of reassuring.
Yeah, that was a universal trait, let's just say.
How about you, Barrett?
Turning maybe also too, as pastors, we were struggling and flailing just because we were wanting to do what was right. But I found that we were quick to make decisions, and people stayed together, and it was able to be in contact with each other. When you have your session, you can break everybody up and you say, make sure you contact these people and you know what's going on. And we were quick to go to videos, and people jumped on, and you had 85-year-old persons who'd never been to Zoom were on the Zooms and mm-hmm. doing it, and people were loving it. And so in some ways, yeah, it was nice, and we stayed together in it. Yeah.
You actually reminded me that one of the things that I think was really good for us was that we didn't have the luxury of abstractions during the pandemic. Everything was very personal. Yeah. Nothing was hypothetical. It was like, okay, we have to do this to keep Bill safe and to keep Maryland safe. And no mm-hmm. matter what our politics are, we do this for each other.
Yeah. That's a pretty profound statement, Esta, and I appreciate you raising that, because as I read the Gospels, almost none of Jesus' ministry was done in the abstract, mm-hmm. but I think we've gotten away from that, so thank you. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the personal nature of ministry in small churches, and you know, I know you two are the last two people to want to idealize that any more than we want to idealize any sort of church. However, personal ministry does mean that the issues that come at you differently. I think closer to the ground. I don't know if you know, but this is an election year. And so I'm wondering what you are already into and how you anticipate navigating pastoral ministry in your settings when so much is pre-cooked into the mix as far as division, strife, opinions, things like that.
I feel like my congregation, for us, the presidential election this year is not on our radar. The Trump presidency, starting in the election cycle of 2016, was a divisive time, and there were some personal issues that came up because of that. But in our small town, in our location, with our small congregation, since then, we've gone through the pandemic, a flood, and then the major employer in our town, the paper mill, closed last year. So we are so fiercely banded together, even with politics and whatever, that is where our focus is. It's not on what's going on the national scale. We know who we are, and we're together in this.
And for us, Raleigh, as I mentioned earlier, we're right outside of Raleigh, is growing towards us. We're the last county that Raleigh's going to. So our population is increasing. They expect maybe 5 times as much in the next 10 years. And so we're worried about change. The town that we grew up in, our people grew up in, is changing rapidly before us. Since I've been here in 6 years, our population has almost doubled. And so what does that mean to our town? But what I love even about this is, I remember one time I was in a Sunday school class, and it's mostly of women. Something came up, topic doesn't matter, but it was a heated topic. And what floored me was they had this theological heated topic with one another, talking to each other. And then after we left, after the class, they just walked out and everybody was still friends. 10 minutes later, I was up in the pulpit and I'm looking and they're sitting beside each other in worship. I'm like, wow, who knew? And I wonder if that's what the rural churches bring, that you can do that. And yeah. They still loved each other, even though they completely disagreed, and they had a really good theological conversation about it.
Yeah, it's like the differences that matter are old generational grudges in towns like ours, right?
Yeah.
This modern day political stuff, whatever, that's water under the bridge. Not for everyone.
But your dad
but...
did sell this piece of land that I really wanted. I'm really bothered.
It's real.
Essie, you said you've been there about a dozen years and Barrett about half dozen. How have you changed through this ministry?
One, I think I've been humbled. I'm second career. Had a 20-year business career. Went to seminary. Came out sort of thinking, let me go learn these people some stuff. And became very humbled in how much they've taught me. I've changed and realized how much they've cared for me. And that's made me care for them more. But just how much I didn't know. And I've grown through that. And I think that's where I've learned the most.
I think my natural tendency to try to be perfect has suffered a mortal blow. And I've gotten comfortable with apologizing, with saying, I don't understand, can you tell me more, with asking for help. And my capacity to carry grief and joy and pain all at the same time has stretched in ways I never imagined. It's all side by side, all at the same time, all the time. Mm. And I never could have prepared for that.
Mm, yeah. Those are two wonderful answers. We know that theological institutions can't do everything, and we shouldn't expect them to. What do you wish, as you look back on your seminary preparation, what do you wish seminaries knew about your setting to better equip you and those like you serving where you are?
I'll go back to an answer I said earlier. It's not as bad as they think it is in rural areas and small towns. These churches are not stuck as much as they think they are. And they need leadership, and they're hungry for leadership. Mm. And we need to educate and prepare people to go into this type of ministry. Urban settings are wonderful. Big steeple churches are wonderful. New church developments are wonderful. But these people are hungry for leadership as well, too. And we need to keep making sure we're educating people to come to these areas.
Barrett, when you say they are hungry for leadership, what do they mean when they say that?
That's a good question. Because if all they know is what they know, that's all we, all of us know is what we know. And our history tells us so much. We're in this every day, reading and studying and thinking about it. They're not. And so teach us a new way to do worship. Teach us a new way to do prayer. Sit down with us and let us navigate through scripture together. I think just simple stuff like that. Take us out. Help us see what we can't see in the world. And then, by the way, we're going to introduce you to things that you can't see either. So I think that's what it means. Just leadership in that way.
I would add my voice to all of the countless others who say we need to know how to be managers of aging buildings and how to handle budgets and we need more financial training and blah, blah, blah. Like, we've heard that a lot, but it's true. Yeah. I think the thing that I didn't realize that would have been helpful is how much fun the relationships are in small churches, that people hear rural church or small church and they think about the negative limitations of it. But every person in my congregation is like a character in a novel. And there's so much joy that I've had in getting to let them teach me, and frustration. I mean, come on. Yeah. But you can't slap a label on these people and these churches. No two small churches are going to be alike. Yeah. And I really wish that more people could see that.
Ministry Collaborative is entering into a time of also focusing on preaching. And preaching is very different depending on the setting. What can you say about your experience of preaching to your folks Sunday after Sunday?
Yeah, it's funny. That's been one of the ways that I've changed the most as a pastor. Coming out of seminary, I thought you had to quote a certain number of white theologians in order to have it be a sermon. Now it's storytelling. Yeah. And the more appropriately personal you can make it, the more valued it is and the better it lands. Yeah. That was a change.
Yeah,
I think what I've learned about preaching in my setting is that preaching is still important. For a while there, I was wondering if preaching was important or not, or maybe just we need to come together and read scripture together, and that's the most important part. But I realized that preaching is still such a vital part to the church, even especially these smaller and mid-sized churches, that this is, you're bringing information to them that you've studied over the week, and they receive it. Where the Holy Spirit's at work within you is helping guiding the church, and you're sort of coming out there. So my biggest thing is it's still such a vital part of the church.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Both of you, by the way, are co-facilitating a ministry collaborative cohort right now in your respective regions. I'm wondering what that experience is like for you.
So much fun. Oh my gosh. I love our cohort so much. Pat Bacon and I have been co-facilitating our group. We're in our third year now. It's just a great, diverse group of people in every way. And there's so much laughter. And we're learning more together about how each individual person experiences the same location and is technically doing the same or similar jobs, but with totally different reactions. And it's just been a joy.
Yeah, Sherelle Raines and I are leading up a group that's county-based, Hornet County. And what I love about it is because everyone in our group is at a medium-sized or smaller church, you can feel like you're on an island. Here, we're getting cooperation with one another and it's building relationships with people, not only in your denomination, but across denominations. And that's what I love about it, just the connections that we're building, where sometimes a small church, you can feel alone. And also that through that, I feel like we're starting to make an impact. Last meeting, we met with our mayor and our county commissioner. We're learning from them, they're learning from us. And I think that's great about the cohorts and also great about small churches. That small churches in small towns, mid-sized churches, small towns, you make a direct impact in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our cohort at our meeting last week went on a tour of the traditional Black neighborhoods in Asheville. And the tour guide ended up just sitting at the feet of members of our cohort and hearing their stories because they had so much to teach. And he's going to add their stories to the history of Asheville that he's not only representing, but is making part of the conversation on reparations in our town. So to be able to see that happen in real time was really thrilling.
I really appreciate the work both of you doing along with your co-facilitators and your cohort. What you just said is why we try to do this. What's a scripture passage, text, that personally sustains you right now? I don't know about you. For me, there's a collection of them, the usual suspects, but it kind of rotates depending on where I am, what I'm doing, how I'm feeling in my life. What's a scripture just today that you would say, this is sustenance for me?
I'm glad you said today, because we're recording this on Ash Wednesday. And at our Ash Wednesday observance, a woman in my congregation dropped by just to receive ashes. That's how we were doing it throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And she said, today I'm clinging to Psalm 51. So I opened up the Bible and we read it together. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And that plea for not only a fresh start, but for support and companionship in the hardship and wonder and mystery of life. Man, that hit me in the feels today. Just that we are all bearing different things, but we are all in this together, and mm-hmm. that we are all sustained by the grace of God in ways that we cannot understand. Yeah. So that's carrying me today.
For me, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. They were coming back from exile. The Israelites come back from exile. They're getting together. And then Nehemiah, before they build buildings, before they worked on plans, they got together and read scripture. As they're reading scripture, they said, read the Torah. And as they're reading, they said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And come back to what Esther said earlier about the joy of the churches. And also, Mark, as we talked about with COVID, we're still coming back together. Yeah. And for us, we're trying to figure out who we are. And we continue to try and figure out our sense of belonging within our town, within our community, still in this new time as our time is changing. And right now, I keep bringing us back to read scripture and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us from there.
Huh. Fabulous. Both of you, thank you. Those were gifts. I don't want to overuse the word, but I don't think it can be overused. I am so joyful to be talking to both of you and hearing directly again about your ministry. I often say when people say, oh, the church, I'm like, look, the church is God's idea. So as long as God continues to hold the church as an idea that sustains Christian community, we'll have a church. And knowing that you two are out there doing this wonderful work meets that aspiration and really fills me with hope and joy. So thank you for the conversation. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for all your work and your mentorship.
Thank you. Glad to be in this messy, beautiful business with you.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.